Hello, this is Kathleen, and today, Monday, April 6th, I'll be reading to you from the Metro West Daily News. New brewery, Winch and Pulley, opens in Framingham. No frills, just good beers on tap. By Norman Miller. The latest spot to grab a fresh pint of local brew in Metro West has opened its tap room. Winch and Pulley Beer Company at 81 Morton Street in Framingham, formerly home to Jack's Abbey Craft Lagers and Exhibit A Brewing Company, debuted on Thursday, April 2nd. We want to be a reliable neighborhood place. No frills, just good beers on tap, said owner and founder Andrew Gard in a phone interview. There has been great beer being brewed here for years, and we want to keep that tradition going. The brewery currently has just a tap room, as it works with the city to open an outdoor beer garden, Gard said. The brewery is starting with four core beers on tap: Shark Blood Light, Husky Boy Czech Dark Lager, Scout's Honor, an American IPA, and Paste Setter, a West Coast IPA. They're available in draft, 32-ounce growlers, and cans to go. There will also be rotating hard seltzers on taps, canned cocktails, and other beverages. There is a lot of stuff that's more popular for non-beer drinkers, so they can still come and have the brewery experience, Gard said. We have the ability to make everything on site. We make a hard cider, and our seltzers will be heavily rotated. However, this is just the beginning, Gard said. Along with Winch and Pulley, Gard has started what is known as the Morton Street Brewing Company, a sister company. This business will work as a contract brewer, brewing beer for other breweries and companies. Gard said it will allow small breweries that need more capacity to brew the beer they need, or help startups get their beer on the market earlier than they could themselves. Along with brewing beer, Morton Street Brewing also offers packaging for retail and wholesale. Unlike a lot of breweries that offer contract brewing, Morton Street offers much smaller batches with no long-term contracts, Gard said. The reality is, we have a lot of extra capacity, and we know there is a gap in the market for something like this, he said. We want to fill that void and create fresh options. Those who contract brew can also host events using the Winch and Pulley's tap room, where their beer can be sold on draft. I think it will make things exciting, Gard said. We will have a whole draft tower of these other options for people to try. Winch and Pulley will be open from 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays, from noon to 8 p.m. on Saturdays, and noon to 6 p.m. on Sundays. We're really working on our indoor space to make it welcoming to people, and we're really looking forward to getting going, Gard said. Concerns raised on proposed budget. Truly frightening, says Framingham Councillor. By Caroline Bunnell. Framingham City Councillors are concerned about what they see as a reliance on free cash and increased spending after Mayor Charlie Sisiski presented initial outline for a fiscal 2027 operating budget during a March 31st City Council meeting. The preliminary spending plan, it's not yet an official proposal, offered the first glimpse of the administration's fiscal priorities. Sisiski must submit a formal budget proposal to the 11-member council by May 1st. According to Sisiski's presentation, requested expenditures across all municipal departments and services totaled $417 million. The mayor on March 31st presented two draft proposals. One totaling $401.9 million and the second totaling $400.9 million, reflecting reductions from the department's requests. The midpoint of those two figures would represent a nearly 5% increase from the current fiscal 2026 budget of $382.7 million. Sisitsky outlined several scenarios depending on increases in the city's tax levy and varying levels of free cash use. All scenarios showed additional cuts, including further reductions to the school committee's proposed $190.5 million budget. Councilors warned that residents may struggle to afford higher taxes. At-large Councilor Janet Liam-Bruno said during the March 31st meeting that she worries about the financial strain on households already facing difficult choices. "I think that raising the taxes significantly is really out of the question, because I am sure we've all heard the same thing from people," she said. "They're just deciding whether they're going to pay for health care, how they're going to pay for their medicine, how they're going to heat their house. These numbers are truly frightening." District 8 Councilor John Stefanini introduced a motion requesting that the mayor present a budget based on a 3.5% tax levy increase and tapping $7.5 million in free cash. The motion passed unanimously, although District 4 Councilor Michael Cannon said he would not support a final budget that includes a 3.5% increase, saying the city is falling into a pattern of significant tax increases. Stefanini said during the meeting that pairing a 3.5% levy increase with a $7.5 million free cash would produce a budget of about $393 million, roughly $7 million below the mayor's early draft. He said he wants to hear from each department about what a $7 million reduction would mean for their operations before the council considers raising a levy beyond 3.5%. Councilors raised concerns about the city's reliance on free cash. For the current fiscal year, the council approved $9.6 million in free cash, an amount Stefanini said is not sustainable. It's non-reoccurring revenue that is best used for a one-time expenditure, he told the Daily News. Those revenues impact our bond rate. They're bad fiscal practices that put our community finances in jeopardy, Stefanini added, that the city proposed just $3.5 million in free cash for fiscal 2025, making last year's jump especially concerning. Sisitsky said the city currently has $21 million in free cash available to carry into the next fiscal year. This year's budget discussions have amplified broader concerns about Framingham's long-term financial stability. City Council Chair George King said during March 31st meeting that the city must develop a multi-year strategy to address financial pressures that have emerged in recent years. "We are definitely at a time where we can't do everything we've been doing," King said. "We are doing too much. We don't have the sustainable resources to continue doing everything we want to do." Stefanini told the Daily News that Framingham must focus on two priorities: to strengthen its financial standing and revenue, increase economic development, and create a strategic plan to guide spending decisions. He pointed to the proposed Eagle Rock development on Route 9, which is valued at about $100 million. and would generate an estimated $1.1 million in new annual tax revenue. When you look at why it is that Watertown and other communities are not having the kinds of difficulties that we are having, it is because their new growth is much greater than ours, he said. Sisiski will hold a public hearing on April 27th, giving residents an opportunity to weigh in on the city's spending priorities before the May 1st deadline. The hearing was originally scheduled for March 30th, but was delayed after the council's February 3rd vote to declare a budget state of emergency, extending the budget submission deadline by 30 days. Former officers appear on Brady List by Norman Miller. Two former Framingham police officers who were at the subjects of an internal affairs investigation that led to one being fired and the other resigning were allegedly involved in the purchase and possession of cocaine, according to the documents held by the Middlesex District Attorney's Office. The draft disclosure documents were obtained from the Middlesex District Attorney's Office after a public records request by the Mass Dump, an online newsletter. The documents contain details about the Framingham Police Department's internal affairs investigation of former officer Reese Black and former detective Kyle Purcell that were not previously disclosed. The disclosures are part of what is known as the Brady List, an internal prosecution document that contains a list of officers who have engaged or have been accused of misconduct that must be disclosed to defense attorneys and which can be used to try to impeach an officer's credibility while testifying. They stem from a 1963 U.S. Supreme Court ruling that states prosecutors must turn over any information or materials that can be favorable to the defense. The Middlesex District Attorney's Office keeps a list of affected officers on its website, but that list has not been updated since January 15th. Neither Black nor Purcell is currently on it. Purcell resigned from the Framingham Police Department in January, and Black was fired from the following month as a result of the internal affairs investigation into alleged misconduct. Police did not disclose the nature of the misconduct. According to the draft disclosure document regarding Black, the internal affairs investigation focused on a period from August 1st and September 11th, 2025. In regards to Black's alleged possession and purchase of illegal drugs. He was placed on administrative leave on September 11th. According to the disclosure, Black violated four department rules, purchasing and possessing cocaine and testing positive for the substance, criminal conduct for possession of illegal drugs, and conspiracy to violate the state's drug laws, association with known criminals when he associated with a known convicted offender, and conduct unbecoming a police officer in connection with the other three department rules violations. According to the draft disclosure document regarding Purcell, he allegedly violated seven department rules, purchasing and possessing cocaine and testing positive for the substance, criminal conduct for possession of illegal drugs and conspiracy to violate the state's drug laws, association with known criminals when he associated with a known convicted offender, electronic controlled weapons for failing to properly secure his taser in his cruiser, reporting for duty for failing to report to the station for his regularly scheduled shift, department vehicles for using his department-issued vehicle for personal use and to transport civilian passengers, and conduct unbecoming a police officer. in connection to the other department rule violations. Purcell's disclosure also notes that in 2021, he was suspended for 10 days after he improperly stored his firearm in his personal vehicle and it was stolen while he was off duty. Both draft disclosures said the matters have been referred to the Middlesex District Attorney's Office for a criminal investigation. When contacted on Friday, April 3rd, Framingham Police spokeswoman Lieutenant Rachel Mickens did not comment on the disclosures, but said the department followed procedures. Officer Black was terminated as a result of the investigation findings of the investigation. Mickens wrote in the email, Officer Purcell resigned prior to the conclusion of the investigation. The chief, Lester Baker, immediately put out a public statement at the start of the investigation. He notified the city government, made appropriate reporting to the Massachusetts Peace Officer Standards and Training Post Commission, and immediately put out a statement at the conclusion of the investigation. I would defer to the DA's office for any information on the investigation. On Thursday, a spokeswoman for the Middlesex District Attorney's Office did not comment on the draft disclosures, but did say the matters remain under investigation. New England's Happiest City Isn't Boston, by Bailey Allen from USA Today Network, New England. Do Bostonians seem grumpy to you? The city isn't ranked too high on WalletHub's 2026 list of the happiest cities in the United States. The personal finance website analyzed 182 of the largest cities in the country and ranked Boston 63rd overall. Although the city is home to some of the nation's top universities, high-ranking hospitals, and well-regarded companies, it didn't rank the top 50. To get the rankings, WalletHub compared the cities using 29 metrics, including life satisfaction index, depression rate, poverty rate, job security, and acres of parkland per 1,000 residents. Each metric was graded on a 100-point scale, and cities were assigned an overall happiness score. Here's how two major Massachusetts cities ranked and how they compare with other New England communities. Boston ranked 63rd on WalletHub's list of the happiest cities in the United States, with an overall happiness score of 56.88. This capital of Massachusetts also ranked 45th in emotional and physical well-being, 172nd in community environment, and 8th in income and employment. Worcester was also on the list in 116th place overall, with a happiness score of 50.12. This city also ranked 109th in emotional and physical well-being, 164th in community and environment, and 57th in income and employment. Here are the 25 happiest cities in the U.S. and their happiness scores according to the WalletHub 2026 list. Number 1, Fremont, California, 74.09. 2, Bismarck, North Dakota, 73.11. 3, Scottsdale, Arizona, 71.36. Number 4, South Burlington, Vermont, 70.15. 5, Fargo, North Dakota, 69.36. Number 6, Overland Park, Kansas, 68.45. 7, Charleston, South Carolina, 68.44. 8, Irvine, California, 67.99. 9, Gilbert, Arizona, 67.96. 10, San Jose, California, 67.79. 11, Burlington, Vermont, 67.54. 12, Madison, Wisconsin, 66.35. 13. Columbia, Maryland, 66.28. 14. Chandler, Arizona, 65.69. 15. Seattle, Washington, 65.62. 16. Plano, Texas, 65.34. 17. San Francisco, California, 64.99. Number 18. Lincoln, Nebraska, 64.90. 19. Portland, Maine, 64.59. 20. Tempe, Arizona, 64.30. 21. San Diego, California, 64.30. 22. Raleigh, North Carolina, 63.47. 23. Peoria, Arizona, 63.38. 24. Durham, North Carolina, at 62.84. And number 25, Huntington Beach, California, 62.80. The least happy cities in the U.S. Here are the 25 least happy cities in the U.S. and their happiness scores according to WalletHub's 2026 list. Number 1, Detroit, Michigan, number 182 overall, 29.55. Number 2, Memphis, Tennessee, number 181 overall, 34.39. 3, Shreveport, Louisiana, number 180 overall, 34.93. 4, Cleveland, Ohio, number 179, 36.50 happiness scale. Number 5, Huntington, West Virginia, number 178 overall, 37.20. 6, Toledo, Ohio, number 177 overall, 37.21. 7, Augusta, Georgia, number 176 overall, 38.24. 8, Fort Smith, Arkansas, number 175 overall, 38.266. Number 9, Dover, Delaware, number 174 overall, 39.08. Number 10, Akron, Ohio, number 173 overall, 40.11. 11, Baltimore, Maryland, number 172 overall, 40.28. 12, Birmingham, Alabama, number 171 overall, 40.37. 13, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, number 170 overall, 40.47. Number 14, Columbus, Georgia, number 169 overall, 40.61. 15, Montgomery, Alabama, number 168 overall, 41.35. 16, Gulfport, Mississippi, number 167 overall, 41.65. 17, Charleston, West Virginia, number 166 overall, 42.18. 18, Jackson, Mississippi, number 165 overall, 42.60. 19, St. Louis, Missouri, number 164 overall, 43.53. 20, Knoxville, Tennessee, number 163 overall, 44.04. Number 21, Wilmington, Delaware, number 162 overall, 44.35. 22, Little Rock, Arkansas, number 161 overall, 44.48. Number 23, Mobile, Alabama, number 160 overall, 44.85. Number 24, New Orleans, Louisiana, number 159 overall, 45.19. Number 25, Tulsa, Oklahoma, number 158 overall, 45.33. Where are the New England cities ranked? Here are the 12 happiest cities in New England and their happiness scores according to the WalletHub 2026. Number 1, South Burlington, Vermont, number 6 overall, 70.15. Burlington, Vermont, number 11 overall, 67.54. Number 3, Portland, Maine, number 19 overall, 64.59. Number 4, Nashua, New Hampshire, number 27 overall, 62.49. Number 5, Manchester, New Hampshire, number 51 overall, 59.10. Number 6, Boston, Massachusetts, 63 overall, 56.88. Number 7, Warwick, Rhode Island, number 66 overall, 56.59. Number 8, New Haven, Connecticut, number 95 overall, 54.14. Number 9, Bridgeport, Connecticut, number 96 overall, 54.01. Number 10, Providence, Rhode Island, number 98 overall, 53.42. Number 11, Worcester, Massachusetts, number 116 overall, 50.12. And number 12, Lewiston, Maine, number 145 overall, 47.28. Chinese Reusable Rocket Debut Fails by Eduardo Baptista from Reuters, Beijing. Beijing-based rocket developer Space Pioneer said on April 3rd that the maiden flight of its reusable rocket Tianlong 3 failed, highlighting the challenge China's rocket developers face in catching up to Elon Musk's SpaceX. Space Pioneer, also known as Beijing Tianbing Technology Company, offered few details about what went wrong, disclosing the failure only in a brief statement posted to its official WeChat account. It is among a small group of rapidly growing private sector rocket developers spurred by Beijing's push to turn China into a major space power, as well as policy support that has made it easier for such firms to raise capital and pursue initial public offerings. These companies are now in a race to become the leading Chinese developer of reusable rockets, a technology so far mastered only by the U.S.-based SpaceX. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you all have a safe and well day.